Welcome to the program. This is Robert Jaramillo. I'm one of the instructors at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, and this week I'll be filling in for Pastor Brian Parrish. This week we are looking at the flaws of the faith movement, and we are continuing our study that we began yesterday. Today we're going to look at the faith movement's teaching on health. As we looked at yesterday, you know, when you begin on a false premise, then all that can happen as you build on that false premise is more error. And we looked at the faith movement's understanding of the word faith and what it means for the Bible, and we're going to begin to see now that as they build on that, more and more error is going to start taking place. So today, we're going to look at how the faith movement's erroneous understanding of faith has begotten more error. The next error we will look at is the faith movement's doctrine of health. So if you have your Bible with you, go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. You know, countless tragedies have taken place due to the flawed teaching of health and sickness by the health and wealth doctrine. The faith movement instructs its believers to believe and receive their healing. Even if the body shows signs of illness, the believer is not to believe such a suggestion. For the faith movement, these are only tricks of the devil to plant doubtful thoughts in the believer's mind. This is not an act of faith when we deny our body's senses. Rather, it's really being out of touch with reality. Nowhere in the Bible are we ever instructed to deny what our body or physical senses are telling us in regards to sickness. Rather, we are instructed to seek out means by which we can receive treatment for our ailments. Contrary to what the faith movement believes, this is not a lack of faith. This is advice straight from the Bible. As we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, Paul told Timothy here, and let's go ahead and read that together, "No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities." Now, what's going on here? Paul is prescribing a method of treatment for an ailment that Timothy has. Paul did not tell Timothy to ignore his ailments. He did not tell Timothy to not let the devil plant thoughts of doubt in his mind or to believe by faith that he was healed. Paul the Apostle, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told Timothy to seek out a remedy to treat his infirmities. In this case, the medicinal use of wine. Surely, Paul the Apostle was not instructing Timothy to be faithless or to ignore the promises of God. As well, surely the Holy Spirit would not instruct us from the Bible to not trust in God. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to tell us, if we have an illness, there's nothing wrong with seeking out treatment for that. Now, if the Bible shows us that it's okay to seek out treatment by means of medicine for the healing and treatment of our body, then no one has the right to say it is wrong. Nor do they have the right to say we must ignore our illnesses. To say such a thing has led many people to tragedy. It led to many deaths in people's lives due to this type of philosophy. Such an attempt is nothing more than putting one's voice and authority over the Bible, an error I would not want to be held accountable to God for. Imagine that. God is saying it's okay to seek out treatment for your body to be healed. And now the faith movement comes along and says, that's a lack of faith. Don't do that. Do not listen to the word of God, but listen to me. Well, that's a dangerous place to be at, because as we look at James chapter 3, verse 1, we see where we're not to desire to become teachers because we have a stricter judgment before God. And when someone begins to say, my voice is right and the voice of God from the word of God is wrong, they have placed themselves in an incredible place of judgment. You know, the Protestant movement and during the Reformation time, the Christian church criticized the Roman Catholic Church because the Roman Catholic Church put the voice or authority of the church on equal grounds with the Bible and at times above it. And it's ironic, I think, that many people in the name of the evangelical church or the Protestant church are now doing the same thing. Dangerous place to be at. Let's avoid that. You know, the most heartbreaking outcome of this aberrant teaching is to talk to a mother who can no longer live with herself because she didn't have enough faith to save her infant from dying. You know, I've spoken with mothers who they say that, you know, their child died. They're asked their pastor why this child died, and their pastor turned around and told them because they lacked faith, and because they had no faith, their child is now dead. You know, to see the tears in a mother's eyes as she buckles under that load, it's tragic and at the same time, it's very angering. Many lives get destroyed like this, especially when the situation could have been avoided by the mother simply obtaining medical care for her child. You know, if a group of people are going to instruct someone not to seek out medical care because it's not God's will, then I really believe they should take responsibility for the tragedy that takes place afterwards. Many a times, we're left with having to clean up the tragedy and mess of seeing families in devastation because of this doctrine. And that really, in my opinion, is the most appalling part of this doctrine, is to see the families that are truly destroyed because they were told God would heal family members. They trusted those teachers, and family members die. You know, we've criticized the Jehovah's Witness Church because they refuse to allow blood transfusions to take place in their families or friends. And as a result, people, Jehovah's Witness, have died because of that. Yet here we are, quote-unquote, the church, as they call themselves, doing the same thing. The irony is that this flawed formula to have someone healed by faith does not even work for the people who teach it. It's interesting. Hank Hanegraaff has pointed out that Frederick Price has made the claim that he, quote-unquote, doesn't allow sickness in his home. Yet Price's wife has been treated for cancer in her pelvic area. Now, my question is, if this theology is accurate and he is practicing what it's preaching and it's truth from God, why is it not working? If I would see my own family suffer because of this teaching, I'd have to question, is this truly what the Word of God says? Is God wrong? Well, we know that's not the case. It must be what I'm teaching. You know, I could not, with a good conscience, teach something that I have found in my own life doesn't work. Yet Frederick Price doesn't seem to have a problem with it. Let's go ahead and turn real quick to 2 Timothy chapter 10. You know, it's interesting that if infirmities were a sign of a lack of faith and they were a sign of a faithless individual, would that be something to be proud of or be happy about or boast about? We'd obviously say no, because we're not walking by faith. Yet Paul the Apostle had a very different perspective on this subject. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's begin with verse 7 and read from verses 7 through 10 together. It says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." So Paul the Apostle is just saying, you know, because of all these revelations God give me, in order for God to keep me humble, he gave me this thorn in the flesh. "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore," look at Paul's conclusion, "most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, this is supposed to be something bad, that we accept sickness. How could Paul the Apostle boast in his infirmities? Even more than that, he actually took pleasure in his infirmities. Could Paul the Apostle be showing us a terrible example of walking faithlessly before God, not trusting God, and this is good? Well, of course not. What we have, again, is a contradiction between the Bible and the theology of the faith movement. Though faith teachers teach that it is an evidence of a lack of power or faith when someone has continual infirmities, Paul the Apostle states that this is when the power of Christ rests upon him. Now, could our lack of faithfulness in God cause the power of God to rest upon us? It doesn't make sense. What Paul the Apostle is saying is, guys, when I am in this state of having infirmities, when I am in this state of reproaches and needs and in persecutions, I am humbly dependent upon God, crying upon God, and that's when God's power rests upon me, because I am depending upon his own power and not mine. Who is the liar here? Who's wrong? Is it Paul the Apostle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, or is it the faith teachers? No doubt, once again, the faith teachers are in error, and for many families, grave error. Paul the Apostle made it clear, there's nothing wrong with these infirmities. God is using them to produce a deeper humility and dependence in my life. And he even states that at this point, when he is weak physically, then he is strong. Does God heal today? Absolutely. We praise God that he's capable of touching any one of our bodies. But has he promised to heal us every time? Not at all. Well, time has come to an end here, so we may have to end today's broadcast. But please join us tomorrow as we're going to be looking at another flawed teaching of the faith movement, and that is their teaching on wealth. God bless you. It's a pleasure to be here.